This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. More than 70,000 Americans have sickle cell anemia. Historically, the average lifespan for people with sickle cell disease was only 14 years. But today, with the new treatments available, life expectancy can reach to more than 50 years of age. So today, kids are going off to college with this disease, and there are real concerns about their life away from home. And here with more on this is Dr. Richard Sills, professor of pediatrics and the division chief of pediatric hematology and oncology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Sills.
Great to be here.
So children with sickle cell anemia are living longer. Tell us why that is.
Part of it is better supportive care, physicians being more aware of the complications of sickle cell disease. We now are developing some treatments that are not yet cures, but are improving the health of our kids. And we are beginning to use bone marrow transplantation as a possible cure in some patients.
So basically, these kids were dying, I guess, 30, 40 years ago at about age 14. That would be the longest they could live. Now they really are living into maturity.
Oh, over 95% of children with sickle cell disease will grow up today to be adults.
Wow. Help us understand it. Tell us exactly what is sickle cell.
It's an inherited disorder passed on from parents who most often carry a trait that they may often not even be aware that they have that affects your red blood cells and allows those cells, under certain circumstances, to block blood vessels, which can cause pain and, depending where the blockage is, loss of function.
So the parent themselves may not have any symptoms or the disease, but if they, is it like a recessive trait? In other words, two parents with that recessive trait might end up with an offspring?
Exactly. In most cases, the parents have what's called sickle cell trait, which affects about 1 in 10 people of African descent in this country, and many people of Hispanic descent, and occasionally people of European descent. And if both parents have that trait and they will have no symptoms of it and not know they have it unless they're tested, they have a 1 in 4 chance of having a child with sickle cell disease.
Right. And what happens to the red blood cells? I mean, why do they call it sickle cell?
If one thinks about the sickle on the old Russian or communist flag,
like the scythe.
It was the scythe that would cut wheat, and the cells actually form that shape. And you can see it under the microscope. So 100 years ago, when it was first recognized, it was these changes in the shape of the red blood cells that led to the name of the disease.
So who, you mentioned 1 in 12 or 1 in 10 African Americans are at risk, as well as Hispanics?
1 in 10 African Americans are at risk of having the trait, being well but passing it on. 1 in 400 people of African descent will have the disease. It's less common in Hispanics, but certainly does occur, and it does occur in some European populations, especially Southern European.
How does it actually affect people, though? Let's say you're a child born with sickle cell. What is it, you know, how does it manifest itself?
Well, it's a complicated disease. The most common manifestation are unpredictable and at times very severe episodes of pain that usually last a few days, and then everything kind of goes back to baseline. But there are multiple other complications that can affect our kids. They are at risk of strokes. They are at risk of lung disease. They are at risk of kidney disease, visual loss, and many other complications for which they need to be monitored and, if necessary, treated.
Is that because the shape of the blood cells or the way that they function block blood vessels and create problems for what otherwise would be normal functioning?
They will block the blood vessels, and also the red cells do not live as long as normal red cells, so these patients are also anemic, which is why it's called sickle cell anemia.
And the point is, how would you recognize it as, you know, you're a parent of a new baby and they're not, will they already be screened? I mean,
yes.
That's the question. Is it a routine kind of thing to know that you have the trait pretty much? Is that part of your obstetrical evaluation so that they know and then they look out for the fact that your child may be born with it?
Well, it's really two parts. First, every baby born in the United States is tested for sickle cell disease. So parents will be notified within about 2 weeks of birth if they have a child with sickle cell disease. The other question is, are women during pregnancy being tested to find out if they have sickle cell trait? And then if they do, have their partner tested so that the obstetrician will know that that family is at risk of having a child with sickle cell disease, and that family has then has options as long as they know.
So both of those things do occur, you're saying? I mean, the babies are all tested, and often the mothers are tested?
The mothers should be tested. They usually are. But the genetics is complicated, and at times it can be missed.
I see. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, along with Dr. Richard Sills. He's a professor of pediatrics and the division chief for pediatric hematology and oncology. And we're talking about kids with sickle cell anemia and the concerns that we have for them about leaving home for college. So you've talked about pain and other potential complications, maybe high risk for infection. So you got a kid who's going away from home for the first time in many cases. What do parents have to be worried about, or what does the student have to be worried about?
They really do have to prepare. First of all, as simple as it sounds, parents have to make sure that the child's health care and health insurance will carry over where they go to school, especially if they're leaving the state. Probably most important, they need to contact the sickle cell center closest to where the child's going to go to school, at least young adult is going to go to school, so that that center is aware that there's a new patient in the area and that they can begin to communicate so that if there is a problem, it can be efficiently managed, because that's important to prevent complications from getting
worse.
So
what exactly do they have to be worried about? I mean, what could happen? What are the kinds of things that
they could
happen?
Have an episode of severe pain, which is not going to be managed with routine or oral medication. They could quickly develop pneumonia. They could develop a stroke. And that would require urgent medical care. It's very important that these children be seen at centers experienced in taking care of patients with sickle cell disease, because otherwise their management really does get impaired. So at Upstate, we have the advantage of being the only center in the whole central New York and northern Pennsylvania region that takes care of children with sickle cell disease. And we can assure that these children will get the best possible therapy. And that's really critical if they get sick.
So you're really suggesting that if a parent, if a family is sending a child away to a different state or a school even not that far away, that perhaps they should make contact with a center or some like organization, medical center?
Yeah. They should find out where the nearest sickle cell center is, and they should be speaking to that center before that kid ever goes away to college, to make sure that the child knows where the health center is at school, that health center is aware there's a student who has sickle cell disease, that their appropriate plans are made if the child is sick and requires care at the center. Those are issues. It's speed care. And for these children, when they have a complication, getting care started sooner is going to let them be healthier and decrease the risk of life-threatening complications.
How about things like having your medical records forwarded so that the center is really prepared, knows who's coming, so to speak?
Well, that's part of that appointment. If we know about the student coming, we make sure that the records come so we understand exactly what form of sickle cell disease they have, what kind of complication they've had, and again, are better prepared if a complication arises.
You know, when kids first go away to school, there's so many new experiences, and they're exposed to so much that they may have been exposed to in high school, but more so in college. They have this new sense of freedom. How do things like drug use, potentially, lack of sleep, high pressure stress management, or alcohol for that matter, how do they impact on a kid with sickle cell?
It can increase the risk of complications. Alcohol tends to cause you to get dehydrated, which is a very bad thing for patients with sickle cell disease. Getting too exhausted is an issue. They need to have that experience. They need to get away from their parents and start to live their lives, but they also have to learn that they have an issue. And this is always a problem. Adolescents always feel that they're invulnerable, that nothing will happen to them. And that, unfortunately, when they have sickle cell disease, increases the risk that problems will not get recognized nor treated as quickly, which increases the difficulty ultimately in managing these patients.
So it's kind of the first step toward adulthood, in a sense. They have to really recognize they have a problem, they have a disease, and they need to be responsible for themselves and making sure they have adequate help lined up, and maybe that they be more responsible in some of these behaviors we've talked about, that they may need more sleep, or they may need to watch out for that, and they need to recognize that alcohol usage could be deleterious to their overall health.
Absolutely, but unfortunately, 18-year-olds, now legally adults, do not always act like adults, and it's an issue. They need to be seeing an eye doctor every year, and as they get out of out from under their parents' wings, that needs to happen. It's easy to forget, but if they fail to see that eye doctor every year, they can have partial or even complete visual loss.
In your experience, do you think the schools have been helpful, the colleges and what have you, have been helpful in making those contacts or helping, you know, promote that kind of coverage, umbrella-like coverage?
I think most schools try to help. The issue is, does the school know? And that's where that first visit to a center before school allows us to say, we'll call the school, we'll talk to the school. They'll understand what we're going to do. And that's really important.
How about things like choosing a roommate? In other words, is that a consideration for a student? Or should they be alerting a roommate to the fact that they have this disease and that there may be certain sequelae or certain problems that they may find, you know, occurring for
I
them?
I think that's difficult. At this age, kids don't want to admit their illness. And most of the complications of sickle cell disease, they're going to happen slow enough that they could ask for help and arrange to get help. So I think that's a tougher one, because kids don't want the world to know, and they can probably work around that.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I had the opportunity to interview another of your colleagues about kids going away to school with diabetes. And in that case, it can be life-threatening, and moments can make a difference. And in that case, it seemed like it was more important perhaps to alert a roommate to the potential of some kind of a diabetes crisis or something. But in this case, you're saying it pretty well can be handled by the student, assuming they have made good connection with other medical professionals.
Yeah, I think the number of times that we would expect something to be that abrupt would be much, much less common compared to a student with diabetes.
So overall, your best advice is be prepared, make contact with some health center near to the school, and be aware that you have a problem and what the possible dangers could be.
Absolutely. It's all about beginning to take personal responsibility.
I'll leave it at that. Thanks so much. My guest has been Dr. Richard Sills, professor of pediatrics and the division chief of pediatric hematology and oncology at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.